I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini hanging out with you guys on the first day of July. Welcome to the month of July. The Phillies post yet another winning record in a month this season. They have been over 500 in every month that they played so far in the 2025 season. 14-13, the final line for them in the month of June. Zach Wheeler, Ranger Suarez, dominant pitching performances last month, both have an opportunity to win pitcher of the month, and it's all capped off last night by an 8-inning gem by Zach Wheeler against the San Diego Padres, a team that they have owned of late. They're 11-5 at Citizens Bank Park against the Padres since 2022, and they've been really good in San Diego at Petco Park as well, but they continue their dominance over the Padres. Zach Wheeler, 8 innings, 6 hits, 10 strikeouts, no earned runs, no walks. And it's capped off by a scoreless 9th inning by Tanner Banks to secure the victory for the Phils. That win and puts them at 50-35, 15 games over 500 with a 2-game lead currently in the National League East. We'll go over a little bit later in the episode where they stand as it relates to the rest of Major League Baseball and as well as what their schedule is upcoming prior to the All-Star break, because that is coming far sooner than expected. The trade deadline will be here a lot sooner than any of us anticipated. It's crazy that we are already in the month of July and we have these things to look forward to. What moves will Dave Dombrowski make? What is going to happen with this team and how are they going to be improved? All of those things are questions that are going to be answered prior to this month's end. So we are really getting to a point in the baseball season where things are getting interesting again. Felt like just yesterday it was Memorial Day and you could finally look at the standings. Now we're in the month of July. So really, really crazy that we've gotten to this point. And glad the Phils are 15 games over 500 and glad that they've had the pitching staff that they've had, because if you weren't watching over the past week, it was tumultuous. It was a good series against the Mets 2 weekends ago when they took 2 out of 3. They then followed that up by a complete clunker against Houston where they scored 1 run in the entire series, only gave up 5. There were 6 runs scored total in the entire series. Phillies only getting 1 of those 6. The Astros scoring 5 runs and sweeping them, winning 1-0, 2-0, and 2-1. But the Phils then rebounded, and they followed it up with a 13-run outpouring in the first game against Atlanta. They then win the series with a 2-1 victory on Sunday. So good rebound from them. Good rebound again to win Game 1 against the Padres, who are a very good team, who, if you're not going to win your division, although the Phils are in first place in their division right now, if you're not going to win the division, big opponent in the Padres, a team that you would likely be vying for a wild card with. Padres currently 45-39. We will go around Major League Baseball and look at where other teams are currently in the standings. But I want to start today with the news of Bryce Harper yesterday and what he said prior to game time. So Bryce Harper played his first game in almost a month yesterday. He's been out since early June after he got hit by that pitch by Spencer Strider. He had sit down for a couple of days. He came back and played a few against Toronto when they were in Toronto. But since then, he's been on the shelf, and he has not been playing. Now, he says it's been an ongoing issue, something that he felt last season in his forearm. The pitch hitting him on the elbow, they thought the fluid draining from his elbow to his forearm and wrist area was something that was causing the pain, and it was something that he had to manage, and something that he said that he thought was going to be gone coming into this year after resting up all offseason. He didn't have any issues, and then it flared up, and it got worse after he got hit by the pitch. Now, he said yesterday that it felt like they were at a standstill in his recovery, so to speak, and that that was why he was going to come back and play in that game, that he didn't know that anything was going to change. After having taking live at-bats and throwing and doing all these other things that are baseball activities, he felt like after about 3 or 4 days in a row, it didn't feel any better or any worse. It was, you know, just it was going to be what it was going to be at that point. And Bryce Harper was going to have to just deal with that and play through it. And that's ultimately what he did. Now, he didn't record a hit last night in the game. The Phils win 4-0, but Harper goes 0-for-2 with a strikeout and a hit by pitch. He was hit on the foot. You're always worried when Bryce Harper gets hit by a pitch because of the fact that he just seemingly gets the worst luck possible. He's been hit in the face, he's been hit on the thumb, he's been hit on the elbow, all of which have caused him to miss some time. So anytime Harper gets hit by a pitch, you're nervous, but of course it just glances off of his foot, so all's well, it ends well in that situation. You don't have to worry about that. But you do have to have some sort of concern as it relates to Bryce Harper. And I don't know if the best baseball is behind him at this point. He's 32 right now. We are at the midway point in his contract. He still has 6 more years remaining after this season. He's going to be with the club till he's 39 years old. Harper's not going anywhere. But is the better version of Harper going to be able to still be there and be the 2021 MVP version of Bryce Harper? The most amount of games that he's played here since he's been a Philly was 157. He played that in 2019. He played 145 last year and 141 in 2021. That's the most amount of games that he's played since he's been a Philly. And barring, you know, further setbacks, I mean, he's not going to play that many this year because he was out almost a month, so he's not going to be able to eclipse the 140 mark or so. He's not going to get to that. But is the best baseball behind him is the question that I think a lot of us are thinking internally. Maybe we're not saying it vocally because you don't want to have that become true, but it's something that's at the back of everybody's mind. He's had the back issues in his career. He's had, like I said before, the terrible injury luck where he breaks his thumb and he's out for 2 months. He gets hit in the face and he's out for a while. He gets hit on the elbow and he's out for a while. And he gets Tommy John and he's out for a while, right? So there's been a multitude of injuries that have happened to Bryce Harper that have been unfortunate, that have been incredibly bad luck. But then you get this nagging sort of injury where he just can't seem to find a way to make it feel better, and he's just going to have to kind of deal with the pain. And it's a shame to think about the fact that he won't be 100% likely for the entire season. He's going to be playing through some sort of injury, and is that going to hinder his performance? Now, time will tell. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you definitively whether or not the best baseball is behind Bryce Harper, but it is a concern that I know a lot of people out there are thinking, and we might not want to say it. I get it, because you don't want to address the elephant in the room. But it's absolutely on everybody's mind, and it's a concern that the Phillies are going to have to monitor going forward, and I think it's worth noting when watching them and just watching how he plays moving forward as well. Now, with him getting the start last night back at first base, Otto Kemp did not play. Otto Kemp had been obviously the first baseman for the Phillies for about a 2.5-3 week stretch there when Harper was out. So it'll be interesting to see what they're going to do with Kemp, if they're going to keep him up on the roster, if they're going to try and have him become the left fielder or make him become a platoon with Max Kepler out there. That all remains to be seen. But as many questions as there may be with the Phillies offense, as many questions as there may be with Bryce Harper's health, the one question mark that the Phillies never have to have is Zach Wheeler. And Zach Wheeler, the gem last night, 8 innings, 10 strikeouts. He has not given up an earned run in his last 3 starts. He's given up 2 earned runs in his last 5 starts. He has gone 6 innings, 6 innings, 5 innings, 6 innings, 8 innings. That's 31 innings, only giving up 2 runs. I mean, he's on a Cliff Lee type of level from 2011 when Cliff Lee threw 42 innings and only gave up 1 earned run in the month of June. He threw the three complete game shutouts in a row. I mean, the dominance from Zach Wheeler has been something that you've been able to count on as a Phillies fan. You never have to worry about him taking the ball every fifth day. He's been incredibly durable, which is not something that was the case before coming to Philadelphia. He obviously had a lot of injuries when he was with the Mets. Made 31 starts in his last season with the Mets, then 11 with the Phillies in 2020, and that was, of course, the year where it was COVID, so he's not going to make a full season there. 32 starts in 21, 26 in 2022. That was when he had, I believe it was, that might have been the nail injury, or maybe that was when he was experiencing a little bit of dead arm. I don't remember exactly what the injury was there, but then 32 again last year, 32 again in 2024, and just dominance all around. I mean, he has not had a losing record since he's been a pitcher for the Phillies. He's been 4-2, 14-10, 12-7, 13-6, 16-7, and now 8-3. The guy just shows up every fifth day and goes out there and throws a masterpiece for you. And so is the rest of the Phillies rotation as a whole. Now, Aaron Nola, of course, did not have the season that he was hoping for, and he's going to be out for some significant amount of time. But Ranger Suarez, who pitched on Sunday against Atlanta, has an equally impressive resume in the month of June as Zach Wheeler. Here are Ranger Suarez's starts in the month of June. June 1st, he pitched against Milwaukee, 6 innings, 7 hits, 1 earned run. June 7th against Pittsburgh, 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs. June 13th against Toronto, 7 shutout innings. June 18th versus Miami, 7 innings, 1 run. The 24th against Houston, 7 2/3, 1 run. And then on Sunday against Atlanta, 7 innings and 1 run. Look, this Phillies offense has been anemic at times, and we've seen what happened in that series against Houston where they're not able to get any sort of offense going. We saw what happened against Atlanta. They have a 13-run outpouring, but after that, they only score 3 runs for the next 2 games. The thing that will consistently keep the Phillies in games is the pitching, and I'm not breaking new ground by saying that. If you are a fan of the team, you are obviously, you understand that. You know that this pitching staff is good enough to keep them in any game. The question mark is when they get to the postseason, it's not about the pitching staff. It's about, can this offense do enough to get them to where they ultimately want to go? Can they have the hot streak that they had in 22 versus the cold streaks they've endured at the end of 23 and the entire postseason in 2024? Because last year, the pitching staff, by and large, was okay. Aaron Nola in game 3 against the Mets wasn't phenomenal, but he kept you in the game enough to where if your offense showed any sort of life, it would have been some sort of a game. And in game 4, Ranger Suarez did not have his best stuff, but he kept you in the game and didn't allow a run, right? So they've had the good pitching performances, and Zach Wheeler has been dominant in seemingly every single postseason start he's had as a Philly. I would actually like to go back and look. I think the only bad postseason game from Zach Wheeler when he's been a Philly in the playoffs was game 2 of the World Series, if I'm not mistaken. When he gave up, I think it was like 5 runs against Houston in that game. Yeah, so he went 5 innings, gave up 4 earned runs, 5 runs total in that game. But outside of that, he was dominant, and he has been every bit as advertised of the Zach Wheeler in the regular season once it gets to the postseason. It's just a matter of, can this offense do it? And if you're asking me right now, can this Phillies offense get it done as currently constructed, my answer to you is no. My answer is Dave Dombrowski needs to do some sort of thing at the trade deadline that will put this team over the top. And whether that means dealing a guy like Justin Crawford, whether that means dealing a guy like Mick Abel, whether it means parting ways with Aiden Miller, I would be shocked if they did that. I would be surprised if Dombrowski parted ways with some of these guys, but that's the territory that they find themselves in. You can't have any more half measures if you were Dave Dombrowski. He's done it for 4 to 5 years. However many, he's been the GM of this team since 2020 or 2021. If you think about it, the best trade deadline acquisition that Dave Dombrowski has made as a Philly, and I could be wrong, somebody could prove me wrong on this, but I'm thinking back to all the trade deadlines that he has had, I almost feel like Edmundo Sosa is the best acquisition he's got at the deadline. You got guys like Kyle Gibson, not good. Noah Syndergaard, not good. Brandon Marsh, a platoon-level player. Last year, he goes out and gets Carlos Estevez. He gets Tanner Banks, Austin Hayes, all of those flop. You know, so he has not had the Dombrowski trade deadline that you would expect from his resume. The Dombrowski of the Red Sox, the Dombrowski of the Tigers. And there might be part of that being John Middleton not wanting him to get rid of the farm system, because Middleton saw what happened to the Phils back in 2011 and in that run where you sell your soul basically to try and go and win another World Series. And you deplete your farm system in the process, and then all of a sudden nobody is there and you have nothing left. And when that core ages out and you have no more, you know, wins left for them, the team craters and you go into a whole decade of a funk. So I know that Middleton doesn't want to do that. I know Dombrowski does not want to do that as well, But at some point, you have to also be able to balance that and be able to continue to draft well and be able to continue to raise and you know, have that young talent in the minor leagues improve. But you can't be afraid to get rid of guys. You can't be afraid to move a guy like Justin Crawford if he's going to net you a return that's really solid. Just the fact of the matter, you have to be willing to make a move like that in order to improve the roster as it currently is, because I think I speak for everyone when saying nobody wants this World Series window to close. You want to still continue to go for it. They're 15 games over 500. They lead the NL East by 2 games. I don't know where they're going to be come September. I don't know what's going to happen in the last 2.5 months of the season, 3 months of the season, right? Nobody does. But we all think that this team can be good enough if you just continue to add to it, if you get better bullpen arms, because they had Matt Strom closing out a game on Sunday against Atlanta. That can't happen. Your best closing options likely are Ryan Kirkering. He doesn't have a whole lot of experience doing it, but that's likely the best scenario that you have as a closer. You need more bats. You have a lineup that really is very heavy in the top four of Trey Turner, of Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, Alec Bohm. If you want to throw Castellanos in there, I guess you can. I've never been a Castellanos guy, but I guess you could throw him into those big names of guys that you have at the top that's very top heavy. But then it kind of falls off after that. JT is a shell of himself. JT is just he's abysmal offensively now. Brandon Marsh, not a very good offensive player, though he's picked it up as of late. Johan Rojas provides you nothing with the bat. Max Kepler, who did make a good contact twice last night, thought he had 2 home runs. Jackson Merrill made a phenomenal play to stop one of them. But he's been a massive letdown so far. And the fact that they haven't brought up a guy like Crawford, who has had success in the minor leagues, leads me to believe that they don't want to have him come up to the big leagues, get exposed, potentially lessen his trade value. They want to have all the stronghold on a team and say, this is the stats that he's put up in the minors, this is what we project him to be, and you can get a haul back for him. If that's the case, if that's what they do, I'm not going to tell you that I'm upset about it. I've been a prospect hugger. I've been a guy who never wants you to move the farm system, but in 3 years of making the playoffs in a row and not moving your farm system, where has it gotten you? Right, it has not gotten you to where you ultimately wanted to be. You've gotten close, but no cigar. That's not going to be good enough when you look back at this Phillies core in 20 years. The result needs to be a World Series title. I think I speak for everybody when I mention that. That is obviously what everybody wants. Of course, it's what the Phillies want as well, but they need to be able to make the moves necessary in order to do that. You cannot just keep sitting on your hands, stand pat, give laughable trade offers where you don't really think anybody's going to accept them, and then you move on with guys like Austin Hayes, Tanner Banks, and Estevez, and nobody ever really gets any better, and the trade deadline ends up being a wash. So that's coming up at the end of the month. Keep your eye on that. Need Dombrowski to make some sort of move to get the Phillies in a better position, because as this team currently is, yes, their record is 15 games over 500. Yes, they've played good baseball, and even when they've played good teams who are above 500 and teams that you would likely think you're going to be competing against in the postseason, they've had success. You're also not going to be playing teams like Miami and Washington in the playoffs, right? Or the White Sox. You're going to be playing the best of the best with the best pitchers when it comes to the playoffs, and that's when this offense has gone silent, and that is what we cannot see from them in another year in 2025. You need this team to rebound. You need this team to figure it out come postseason time, and I think I speak for everyone when I say we all hope that that's what's on the horizon in 2025. All right, as we wrap up a little bit here, let me go through Major League Baseball. I said I wanted to talk about where the Phillies stand as it relates to the rest of the big leagues and where every other team stands as it pertains to the wild card. How are the teams in the division doing? How are the American League teams doing? Who do you need to look out for them when the Phillies eventually play them? Here is how it currently stands. Now, the Phillies are 50-35. They lead the National League East, and they have the second best record in the National League. They are 3 games behind the Dodgers, who are 53-32. They're the only team currently ahead of the Phillies as it is in the National League. Houston is 50-34 in the American League. They are a half game better than the Phillies. And Detroit, 53-32. They are tied with the Dodgers for the best record in the sport. So there are three teams currently that have a better record than the Phillies: the Tigers, the Astros, the Dodgers. Pretty good company to be behind. Pretty good company to be in when those are the teams that you're competing with for the best record in the sport. So even though the Phillies have had an up and down kind of year in a lot of people's minds, and even though they've been infuriating and it hasn't been as crisp as we would like, and it wasn't the fast start necessarily that it was in 2024, it also hasn't been the dramatics that 22 and 23 needed, where you had to come back and have a wildly hot second half of the season to get yourself back into playoff contention and get yourself into the playoffs. They've just kind of been a good team this year. And I mentioned before that the pitching staff has certainly been culprit number one for that. You know, that's why they've been at the position that they're in. It hasn't been in large part because of the offense, even though their offense, I think, is averaging over 4 runs a game. and, you know, 13 runs against Atlanta and 10 against the Mets the week prior. Like, they're, you know, outliers, of course, that factor into that. But they are the fourth best team currently in the big leagues. And you are, as of now, the 2 seed in the National League, just like they were last year. So good things that they've done this year. They are certainly in a good position. Behind them in the 3 seed in the National League East, or the National League, is the Cubs. The Cubs are 49-35. I had picked at the beginning of the year the Reds to win that division. My pick not looking so good as of now. The Reds are 5.5 back right now in that division. They are 44-41. So the Cubs are the next best team in the National League. They're the next team behind the Phillies. As it goes to the wild card, the Mets hold the top spot in the wild card as of now. The Mets are 48-37. Milwaukee, who's been red hot as of late, they're 8-2 in their last 10 games. They are the 2 spot in the wild card. They are 47-37. And then St. Louis is behind them at 47-39. So that's how the wild card stands as it is right now. San Diego and the Giants are the first 2 teams outside of the wild card. San Diego 45-39, second place in the NL West. The Giants, 3rd place in the NL West at 45-40. They have had a struggle as of late, 3-7 in their last 10 games. Cincinnati 44-41. They are the last team above 500 in the National League. So 3 teams that are outside of the wild card have a record above 500. Then you go down to Arizona, who's 42-42. Arizona's a weird one. They've been incredibly just standstill, stagnant, 500 baseball. They can't really figure out how to get out of it. They have a bad pitching staff. Their offense is great, but guys like Zach Gallen, Eduardo Rodriguez, guys who they were counting on being good starting pitchers this year for them, have not been. So that was what leads them to be 500. Then you go down to Atlanta. Atlanta, 38-45. That's why it was such a big deal that the Phillies take 2 out of 3 in that series against Atlanta. Do not let them make up any more ground. Continue pounding a team into the ground that can't get out of their own way this year. They started out 0-7. They've been 500 since then. You know, do not let them make up the ground to get back to threatening to make the postseason. Continue to have that team just be down. Stay on, stay below 500 and continue to distance yourself from them in the division. The Phillies currently 11 games over the Mets as it stands right now. The Marlins and the Nationals are the 2 teams at the bottom of the barrel in the NL East. The Marlins 37-45. Who I believe just swept the Diamondbacks, by the way. The Marlins have played good baseball as of late. They have been sneaky this year. Yeah, they're off back-to-back sweeps and 2 out of 3 versus Atlanta prior to that. Marlins playing some good baseball. They swept San Fran in San Fran, and then they swept the Diamondbacks after that. So they go on a West Coast road trip, and they play just fine. So the Marlins are an interesting team this year. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to threaten to make the playoffs. But they're not as bad as you would think that they would be. And then Colorado rounds out the bottom of the NL West. 19-65. They've played better as of late, but still abysmal, just a terrible team, and they can't get their way out of anything. They're just a terrible team. The Pirates round out the NL Central. They are 36-50, though they just came off a 3-game sweep of the Mets, where they outscored them 30-4, and then won game 1 of a series against St. Louis last night, 7-0. So good baseball being played right now by the Pirates. Now, as it goes to the American League, the Yankees lead the AL East. They're 48-36. They're 1.5 games ahead of Tampa Bay, who's 47-38. 2 games ahead of Toronto, who's 46-38. Then you go down to Boston, 42-44. Baltimore, 37-47. They have played better of late. They've gotten themselves to a sort of competitive state, but still 10 games below 500 as it stands right now. The Orioles have a lot to do if they want to get themselves back into contention. The Tigers have an 11.5-game lead. No other team in the AL Central has a record above 500. Cleveland is 40-42. Minnesota 40-44. Kansas City 39-46. And the White Sox 28-56. And then if you go down to the AL West, Houston's 50-34. Seattle 44-40. The Angels are 41-42. Texas 41-44. And the Athletics are 35-52. So that is how the standings currently shape up across Major League Baseball. That is where all of these teams stand. The Phillies are in good shape. The Phillies are one of the better teams in the big leagues, right? So we have a lot of positives to take away from what's gone on with them. If you're a fan of a team like the Rangers, who won the World Series just a couple of years ago, it can be wildly infuriating to see your team 3 games below 500. We do not have to deal with that for the Phillies, so it's good to see them playing well. All right, before we get out of here, I do want to mention the rest of their schedule until the All-Star break. I said that I was going to do that in the beginning. They still have 2 more against San Diego and Philadelphia. Then they have 3 against the Reds at home this weekend. Those will be a 105, 405, and 135 start. So all day games this weekend. The Phillies do play on July 4th, which is nice because it feels like every time there's a national holiday, one that you would think the city of Philadelphia would have a team playing in For some reason, baseball does not schedule them. But they will play on the 4th of July. And then after that, before the All-Star break, they do go on a six-game road trip. It'll be three games at San Francisco, which has been a house of horrors for them in recent memory. And then three games at San Diego, which has been the opposite. They have dominated at Petco Park in their time there. I believe they've swept the Padres two straight years there at Petco Park. So that's been a place where they feel good. They see the ball well, obviously, and play good baseball there. San Francisco, the Phillies split a four-game series with them earlier at Citizens Bank Park. So if you want to win the season series against them and you want to be able to have the tiebreaker over them if they come to a spot later in the year where they need that when it comes to the postseason tiebreakers, they would need to win two out of three in that series. They have not won a series in San Francisco in a long time, so the Phillies are going to have to buck a trend if they want to be able to win that series, and that is definitely going to be one that is big. All right. That's going to do it for me on this edition of Phillies Today. 50-35 is the Phillies' current record, two games ahead of the Mets in the National League East. Things are looking up for this team. Hopefully Bryce Harper can come back and can continue to play good baseball and we don't have to worry about his injury. And hopefully this pitching staff can continue leading the way, because when you have a staff that is this good and can dominate other teams, whether it be a good hitting team like the Padres or whether it be a team like the Marlins or Braves or whoever, if this pitching staff can continue to throw the way that they've been throwing, they're going to be in every game and they should be able to continue to fend off the Mets in the National League East, because they had a good outing against them in that series over the weekend a couple of weekends ago. Jesus Luzardo with a great start. Zach Wheeler, I believe, pitched a really good start in that game as well. Mick Abel, the only one who wasn't great, but they have been phenomenal and they have kept the Phillies in every game, and that is why the Phillies have a good opportunity to win this division this year. All right, that's going to do it for me. We will be back next week when the Phillies are in San Francisco to discuss that series. Until then, everybody, have a great 4th of July. Be safe, have a wonderful weekend, and we will talk next week.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.